Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the pictures, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know just what you have done.
Good evening. Welcome to the Stop Child Abuse Now Blog Talk Radio Show, brought to you by the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. My name is Tammy Schaffstall. I'm calling in from Lighthouse Point, Florida, and I'll be your host tonight. I'm also a survivor of child abuse. Tonight's show is an open discussion question and answer show with Dr. Lena Clark. Dr. Clark is from Alpharetta, Georgia, a domestic violence survivor, coach, and author. She's an expert in the area of mental health. She says, my abuse was domestic abuse by my husband, she explains, who committed suicide after being diagnosed with depression and schizophrenia. So it's always a pleasure to have her with us. She hasn't joined us yet, but I'm sure she will. If not, we'll still have a fabulous show. Before we get started, let me tell you a little bit about NASCA. The National Association for Adult Survivors of Child Abuse is a nonprofit 501c3 organization, and we're self-supporting through our own contributions. If you'd like to donate to NASCA, we would really appreciate it, and if you choose to do so, it is tax deductible. Here at NASCA, we have a single purpose to address issues related to childhood abuse, trauma, and neglect, including sexual assault. We do so from two perspectives. First, we educate the public, especially getting society over the taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse. And we present facts to show child abuse to be a pandemic worldwide problem that affects everyone. We also offer hope and healing through numerous paths, providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse and information for anyone who is interested in the many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. We know we have a lot of people who stream in. If you'd like to join us, the number is 6595-2118. That's 646-595-2118. And I do have two people who have joined us, Ms. Carol and Mr. Bill. Carol Levine calling in from New Jersey. How are you, Carol? Carol? Can anyone hear me?
I hear you, but I don't think Carol's mic is unmuted.
Oh, that was me. That was me.
Yep.
She was trying to get rid of me. I can tell. No, I'm here.
You got to open your own mic around here. Okay. Sorry about that. It's been a long day. Anyway, all mics are open. I do have Carol Levine with us, and I have Bill Murray calling in as well. Thank you both for being here. It looks like it's us three.
You bet.
So hopefully Dr. Clark will call in.
Yeah, I spoke to her today. She's actually doing us a favor by substituting today for someone who can't make it. Dr. Nisi couldn't make it. So she'll be here. She might be a couple of minutes late, and she'll have to leave at 9 o'clock. In other words, at the top of the hour. But she'll be with us a full hour.
Okay.
To finish out the show and see where we go.
Okay, cool beans.
But she's an expert, she has a PhD in mental health issues. So If anybody has mental health issues, probably none of our listeners do, but they might have a question or two for her.
Okay.
Well, let's see if they call in. Yeah.
Okay.
I hope she does show up because, you know, I worked in the field and I love to learn more even as we go along. And, you know, as we go along, we learn about ourselves, too. I mean, you know, none of us have perfect, Bill. We're just not perfect people. That's it.
Not me. That's for sure.
We're not all perfect.
No.
Well,
I think I'm almost perfect.
I'm almost perfect. There you go.
Well, they say the last perfect person who entered the world.
Oh,
was,
I know what
she's going to
say.
Exactly. 2021 years ago. So, anywho, do either one of you have anything on your mind that you'd like to jump start the show with?
Well, I want to make an announcement, and that is to remind people that Victoria Kelly is holding an event that's a virtual and an in-person event. So that means everybody can participate if they wish. And it's on Saturday morning, early afternoon on the East Coast. I think it's 9 o'clock or 9:30 my time, so that would make it, you know, like noon or something. But you should look for the announcement about it because you can participate on Zoom. And, of course, you can also participate at the event in Minnesota where she lives. So looking forward to that.
I never did figure out if I had those brochures or not. I hate to let her down on that, but I've just been so busy.
We're going to participate fully in this because, you know, I've been helping her and so forth. And she did ask me to be sort of the keynote speaker. So I think I'll speak for 45 minutes or an hour early on, like at 9 or 9:30 my time. So that'd be 12 or 12:30 your time. And then it's going to go on for the afternoon. It's going to be on a Zoom platform where up to 100 people can participate. And it'll also be streamed on Facebook. So it's going to be kind of a neat event. It's the first time Victoria is doing anything like this. And I think she's taken on a terrific opportunity here for her to be of service even more. She has grown so much since I've known her. And, she's having her son is flying out to help her from California. she has a lot of help from the community, and it's all about the kids in her case. So we'll probably talk about prevention and intervention techniques and things like that. And so anyway, she has one of those clothesline projects,
and what it is the first time I saw that was when I was given a presentation at Sussex County College, I'd never seen it before. And they were putting out undershirts, and the students were writing down, I guess they were probably kids who had been, abused, and they're writing down certain things, messages, on the undershirts.
Right.
What Victoria has, yeah. Well, what Victoria has, from what I've seen from pictures, if it hasn't changed, is like kids' outfits, with things written on them and so forth. So I'm glad I'm glad she's doing this. And this is what it's all about, is child abuse, for God's sake. And if we don't get help, then you turn into adults that are all messed up. And, of course, that wouldn't be me, we need to get that help. And so that we do turn into productive, healthy, happy people. And we're not people who have no worth,
Right. Well, I know that she is looking for donations for kids' clothing. And then she's also got a single big sheet that she's writing expressions of whatever people want to send her that deal with children. She'll write them on there for you. You just send her. She wants like 10 words or less that express something that you'd like to say about kids, and she'll end up transmitting those to from the emails that she might get and so forth to the sheet. And she's going to have this sheet for the future too. You know, when she does events like this or anything she does. Now you'll also hear her talk a lot about NASCA. Because it is a NASCAR, you know, event. Basically, she's got a little group called Oz, and Oz is actually putting it on, but it's completely sponsored by us. And she was on the show last night talking about it. So, if you want to hear a little more, just listen to last night's show, and she explains what she's doing. So anyway, I thought I'd take that opportunity, Tammy, to announce it at the top of tonight's show. So it's Saturday at noon for the East Coast, so 9 o'clock our time. And look for messages that will give you the Zoom link. You know, the room number or the link. I don't know how she's going to express it because it'll be out perhaps tomorrow, but perhaps tonight. I don't know. Prior to the meeting, obviously. And she wants everybody to come. Come on, you know?
Okay.
Come one, come all.
All right, good. Good for her. Good for her.
Yeah.
Sounds like she's doing some great things. She got some great things going on. I'm happy to hear that. Okay.
She's doing a lot better, okay? She's doing fine. And actually, I'm proud of her. I really am. I'm proud of her stepping forward and taking this on. I know that she was very nervous in the beginning, from what I understand, because, and who wouldn't be, you know, it's the first time she ever did an event by herself, except for her son's help and other people help. But the point is, she's doing it, and that's good. And so I'm happy, for one. Now, Saturday I'll be with my son. I was supposed to be over there today, but we had terrible storms. And we're still not out of the area. I was telling Bill earlier, Tammy, the only thing I agree, you and I think the same way, you know, politically, which we can't talk about, but
sure.
But anyway, the only thing I do agree with is that we do have more storms than we used to have. Because how many times have you heard me say, I have a storm, I have a storm, I have a storm? And today my whole front yard was like a lake. It was ridiculous.
Well,
now it's receded.
I remember the year they called it El Nino, when El Nino came through, and that was what, in the 80s, and everybody was like, "Oh my God!"
Yeah,
you know, the rain, and then the next year you'll have a drought. You know, weather are in cycles, and it's been a very active hurricane. I think we're down on the alphabet. I think Peter went through PQ. I don't know if there's one that begins with Q, but we are way on down the line. And you know, most of them. You know, knock on wood, say a prayer here in South Florida. We've been very, very lucky. The last one, knock on wood, say a prayer. The last one that we had hit hard was Irma. That was actually my first major hurricane. But, you know, they just, a lot of them have gone off into the ocean, you know, just kind of, you know, they come up and then they turn right and they just go on up. That happens all the time, but we've had a few come through and, you know, they hit and then they go up, you know, go up north, and you guys have to deal with it.
Yeah, we deal with it, thanks.
Yeah, you have it. Well, we're used to it here. I mean,
it's our turn, I guess. It's our turn.
In South Florida, you know, we won't even, us Floridians, we won't even bat an eye to anything less than a Cat 3. You know, Cat 1, Cat 2, you know, okay, you know, I only think we stock up for that. But we have a lot of unorganized storms that come through quite a bit.
Well, you know, anyway. I was telling Bill earlier, and then I'll get off the weather.
Okay.
But in the 60s, and that's a long-ass time ago, okay? I was staying in New York City next to the Christmas tree. It was Christmas, you know, And, of course, everybody makes a big deal out of the Christmas tree in New York. I'm so used to seeing it, it doesn't mean too much to me. But my kids wanted to see things, you know, and the family wanted to see mm-hmm. things. And, you know, my son was just a tiny baby at that time. He was born in, in 66. But I remember taking my jacket off, Tammy. It was so hot. Now, that was in the 60s. And then in the 70s, of course, they were older. My children were both born by that time. The same thing. It was very warm at Christmas time. So you see, my point is here, and you know what I'm getting at, but my point is that weather is a strange thing. Okay, that's what it is. And the only thing I thought was that maybe the East now does have maybe more storms than it used to. That's as far as I'll go because that's all
sure,
I believe so I far.
I got you. I understand.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool beans. Well, it's raining here. Like I said, we'll get off the weather, get going. But, yeah, we have an unorganized storm out there now. So, anyway, that's just, I guess, I'm used to it because we have so many.
Yeah.
Cool beans. Well, it looks like it's going to be us three tonight. So if you guys have something you want to bring up, feel free. Otherwise,
You know what? I'll tell you what. I guess it was Tuesday night I did a show. Well, I'm always on Tuesdays. That's my regular night anyway. But I had done a show on IP, Intimate Partner Abuse, IPA, okay? It turned out to be really, really good. And thankfully, Michelle Bless came on with me. I had to call her at the last minute because the person who was supposed to be here on Tuesday couldn't make it. So that was an excellent show. So I say so myself. I got a lot of emails on that one. What I do is I take, before a show, I look things up so I have something to talk about, you know, in case someone can't make it. A lot of people are sick right now. Losing a lot of my friends. Yes, I have. I've lost several friends. And because of COVID, it's very upsetting. But one thing that we could talk about is how... since she was going to speak about domestic violence, Bill had said that she was going to do that, and she might still come on. I don't know. Who knows?
Right.
But one of the things
she said she'd be a few minutes late and that she'd have to leave at 9. I said, no problem.
Well, you know, I can just keep my mouth shut and wait for her to show up, or we can talk about other things. I don't know. It's up to you guys.
No, I mean, let's talk about domestic violence because, you know, I don't know if you guys have followed the story with a girl, Gabby, I'll probably chop up her last name, but just first name's Gabby. Mm-hmm. You know, she's come up missing, and now it's all a big question. You know, they were stopped by the cops, and, you know, he came off looking like he was the same one, and she was crying, and if you've seen the pictures on Facebook, I mean, she's noticeably upset, you know, heartbroken, crying, and, you know, and I guess they continued on. The cops separated him for a little while and then sent him on their way, and then he went home, and she's dead. He went home to Florida, and, you know, they found her, you know, 3 weeks later, you know, decomposed. But there's so many signs. You know, even with that, you know, maybe because I know him, but you would think that the cops would have picked up on something. I mean, it was reported that, you know, the witness saw him slap her. I mean, he slapped her. If they'd have intervened right then, other than just separating them, let them go back together, she could be alive today. But there's
maybe,
many. I survived. You know, I was in a very, very abusive marriage. Very abusive. And it's not easy, and people try to say, well, why did you stay? You could have left. It's not easy to leave. You know, number one, it's somebody you love, somebody you've devoted your time to, and then when they come back after they beat you, then they're all sorry. You know, Max's husband used to send me roses all the time. I remember one time I had to go back to work, and I was beaten and battered, blue, obviously, you know, beat up, obviously.
Yeah.
And then 24 red roses showed up at work. I was humiliated, absolutely humiliated, and then it just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And then he quit sending flowers. It was just, I just knew it was coming. I could tell by, it was a cycle. I could tell by his behavior. You know, once it occurred, you know, it would drop off and the tension would build. And then, you know, wham, there it is again. But I'm one of the lucky ones. I survived it. But there have been many a times I didn't think I was going to make it.
I know. I had two bad marriages. You would think. See, it's something really to talk about and for people to think about. But those of us who came from backgrounds where there was so much domestic violence as a child, we're witnessing this, okay? You would think that we would learn, you know, how to pick people, what to stay away from, you know? But that's not the case. That's not the case because too many of us, you know, okay, we see all kinds of volatile behavior when we're a kid growing up. And I never thought that it was normal. I wasn't one of those kids. I knew it wasn't right, but it didn't somehow sink into my brain that they show certain signs because I was too young, you know, and I was a kid. I was just thinking kid thoughts, you know, and where can I hide because I don't want to get hit, right? You know, that type of thing. And, you know, it's really sad that, you know, that people didn't know any better and still don't know any better. Now, I gave my first husband, which he's the father of my children, he passed away quite a while ago now. Too much alcohol, too much drugs. I'm an alcoholic, so his drinking didn't bother me. It's just that I would stop at times because I wanted to be a better parent, okay? I knew that I shouldn't drink when I was pregnant, so I didn't drink. I even stopped smoking when I was pregnant. Something told me in my brain it can't be good. So, but, you know, in those days, Tammy, you could smoke in the hospital, you know. So the minute my babies popped out, out came my, you know, my Winston or my Marlboros, whatever I was smoking at the time, and I'd light right up, you know, and went back to drinking. So I didn't catch on as a child that, you know, watch out for certain signs, the red flags of a person who could very well be, you know, a domestic violence instigator like the husbands or the wives, you know. It can be male or female, you know. So I picked poorly. And so
Did you. A lot of us too. Well, I can tell you, you know, when I was 16, I dated this guy named David Pittman. He's dead now. And I was a 16-year-old girl, and, you know, I knew I had a dysfunctional home life, but David was drop dead gorgeous. You know, he's dark eyes, you know, the dark hair, ice blue eyes, you know, looks like Patrick Swayze with dark hair and blue eyes. I mean, absolutely gorgeous. I was 16 years old, and, you know, he drank quite a bit, and we left the bar one time. Yes, I was in a bar at 16. You only had to be 18 then. But we left the bar, and he pulled over, and he started beating me. And I got out of the car. We were in my VW, and I finally got away from him. He was hitting me, and I think he hit me once, and I hit him back. And next thing I knew, I saw stars. And I got out of the car, and he had the car. I guess he put the car in park. It was a stick shift, or stopped the car. And he got out, and he had me by the hair, banging my head on the pavement. He broke my front tooth. I mean, I've had one of my front teeth. You know, is a cap. You know, I've had to have the cap replaced several times because he broke it. You know, it was very short. I'm 16 years old. You know, so it happens with young girls. It's not just adults in marriage. I guess that's the point I'm trying to make. You know, the young love, they deal with it as well. And, you know, just like this girl,
I think
she's 22.
We don't know how to choose even as teenagers because they seem cool, right? I got into motorcycles and all kinds of stuff. I love bikes, even to this day. And then I have this guy across the street who wants to take me on. Well, anyway, never mind. But good point. Yeah, you said something.
Go ahead.
But anyway, the point is when you're a kid, a teenager, you know, things seem exciting, you know, and you don't realize that this person could be your father, say, who, if he was the abusive one, your father's son, and like father, like son. You don't pick up on that. You don't get it. And because they seem so nice and kind, and they're cool, you know, they're just decent. They seem decent. And you think to yourself, my God, like my first husband had a Harley Davidson. He had a Cadillac. He had an Indian. That's another bike. And that was something to be proud of, to have an Indian. I just thought I died and went to heaven. And he had his eyes. I have green eyes, but his eyes were so green that they almost glowed in the dark. You know what I'm saying? They were beautiful. And the black hair, and oh, what a body he had. Okay, wow. I was in love. Okay, and you know, and well, he liked me too. So well, he loved me too. So it seemed like a match made in heaven. All right, truly. He took me to Sardi's in New York, which, of course, I loved. The movie stars used to hang out there. And, you know, we went to all kinds of French and Italian restaurants and all kinds of things, if we went on the bike or in his Cadillac. So, I mean, you know, what more could I ask for? He even bought me clothes, okay, so I could go to the city looking good, because in those days you got dressed up when you went to the city. If you go to the city now and you're dressed up, they know you're an outsider. You know, that's the way it is. So, you know, I really felt like I had found someone that was like, someone wonderful. And he was going to straighten out my life. Okay, he was going, so many girls do this. You know, they get married, they think they found Mr. Wonderful, and he's going to straighten out my life. That's not the way it works. So... He got his notice to go to Newark and have his physicals during the time of the Vietnam War. And, of course, I was scared to death he was going to go to Vietnam. And he just plain took that notice and tore it up right in front of me. Okay. Well, he got another one. And the second one said, you better show up or I guess you'll go to jail or something to that effect. Didn't see the second one, so he had to go. And he didn't go to Vietnam. Now, we got married when he was on, he'd gone through the training. What do you call it, Bill? I can't think of it.
Boot camp.
Thank you. Yes. And so they let him out 2 days after that. We got married. I was delighted. I was pregnant. We were engaged anyway. We were going to get married. It didn't bother me any. And then he went down to Fort Benning, okay. Then he got his orders to go over to Korea, of all places. And I thought, what's he going there for? I mean, I'm thankful he didn't go to Vietnam. And when he came home, he was not the man that I married. He was home a day and a half, and he started to punch me.
Oh, wow.
And I was just so shocked. Here I'd had, you know, the baby. I thought he'd be happy to be a daddy and all this other stuff, and it just didn't turn out that way. It was horrific. So I had years of you know, being punched, beaten. Crap, I had that before I met him. And then I married into it. And this is what we do so often. And I gave him 3 chances. Yes, I did. I would leave him. And then he'd say, like, you got the roses, okay? So he would call me and say, it's going to be wonderful. I changed. Yeah, right. Okay. So you go back and you realize the person, he didn't change. And I gave him 3 times. And then the 3rd time, I walked away from him with my children, our children. Didn't even look back. And that was that. I hadn't seen him since 1978.
Oh, wow.
And then I met Marty 2 weeks later. Oh, brother. Yeah. But anyway, so you see, so many of us do that, Tammy. You know, we do that. And we don't realize that we come from many times dysfunctional homes that are going to rule our lives so that we can't choose properly.
Right. And I think you hit the nail on the head, because a lot of us who end up in domestic, not everybody, because people, I truly believe that people who were abused as children, you know, over and over and over, were conditioned to it. Someone who never endured abuse as a child, you know, like you said, you gave him three times. Most of them are going out the door. You know, they'll go home. They've got a healthy support system. Where with us, you know, we grew up being beaten or watching, you know, our parents beat each other or whatever the case may be. And we're conditioned to it. A lot of times survivors will get into a relationship with a normie if they're not, you know, if they haven't worked on, you know, got on a good healing path, and it feels foreign to them. I know it did me. You know, I'm thinking all the good men that I passed up just to go be with somebody who treated me so badly. I mean, I repeated that cycle time and again.
And you know, it makes you look back
because of our abuse, right?
You know, it makes us look backwards at the guys that we did know, and maybe they weren't quite as cool looking, or they didn't seem like you know, like they'd be that much that fun or something. Maybe they're more like book nerds and stuff. You know what I'm saying? And so we would instead choose those that seem cool to us, you know, and in my case, the bikers and things like that, and not knowing, and don't get me wrong, because I know a lot of good bikers, okay, don't get me wrong, but then there are those that are not so good, and I was a rough girl. We had to be rough to survive. We had to be.
Right.
And, exactly. Yeah. That happens so often. And yet, I did have some boundaries of my own. I was never taught boundaries. They didn't care whether I came home or not. But, you know, I had some things that I wouldn't do. Like, I would never deface property. I would never do that. I would never, you know, break people's windows or things like that, even if the others were doing that. I wouldn't do that. I think it's because My parents, I have to say my mother remarried, and she, I'm not going to get into my story, but she remarried, and we were always florists. We always had our own businesses, and they would buy dumps. They would buy dumps, okay? And I watched them put those dumps back to what they should be. They were beautiful by the time, you know, a few years, 2 years later after buying, those places were gorgeous. They had the talent for that, and I did respect them for that. And so I would try to please them, and while the dumps were being cleaned up, right, beer bottles, whiskey bottles, because kids would party on big open properties, right?
Right.
You know, so to try and get their favor, to get them to love me, to accept me, and it never worked. But, you know, so I would never, you know, after seeing all that hard work and even being a part of it, I would never, you know, break other people's windows or deface things. That I didn't do.
Cool. Listen, we've got someone who has joined us at area code 470, and your mic is open. Area code 470, who do we have joining us?
Yes, hi, this is Dr. Lena Clark calling in.
Well, here you are, my guy.
Dr. Clark. Okay.
Hello,
by golly. I'm doing very well. We have Carol Levine, Bill Murray, I'm Tammy, and now we've got Dr. Clark. So thank you for joining us, Doctor.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Sure. We've kind of started talking about domestic abuse and tied it into child abuse as well. So that's been our conversation. I know you're only going to be with us for a short time, so what I'd like to do is throw the mic over to you if you have something that's on your heart that you want to, you know, get the discussion going more with. The mic is yours.
Well, I mean, you know, as I've shared with you before as well as Bill, you know, my area forte is the mental health issue. And I know, you know, we talk about the abuse and domestic violence and you know, those that have been molested as well. And so I always say, you know, the mind is so important. And a lot of people don't think about that. They don't think about the traumatic after effects and what causes people to lock down because of them being traumatized. And many times, again, you know, it starts as young as them being a child, and it has never been dealt with. So that's where it stays, you know, until they become adults, and it doesn't matter how old they are, you know, until you address the issue. And so that's a part of the mindset, and that's a part of what Miracle Mind Global does. So I'm just very adamant about, you know, getting that message out there. I think it needs to be addressed. More people are waking up to understanding that, okay, I need to understand more about the mind and how I think and why I'm angry and what happened. And everything, again, we do is supposed to be with understanding. With all we do, we're supposed to get understanding. And I just think, again, if we don't like platforms like this, it has to be addressed. And what are the plan of actions? What are the resources? And having people to be able to reach out to various in the community contacts, because people are hurting. And I always said we can talk about it, but at the end of the conversation, at the end of the day, what's the POA, the plan of action?
Can I interrupt for a moment with a thought that because we've talked about a little bit about the patterns of domestic violence that lead women to choose the wrong partners, and they do that multiple times sometimes, and then with any individual partner, they even after they've been beaten and so forth, they keep going back. So that's what we've talked about so far. But I want to add another element to this, because as a man, I want to talk about the men's side of this, and say that, you know, one of the things we don't do very well is raise our boys very well, and and they are repeating the patterns of behavior that they see in their own families or in society. So when they grow older, traumatized or not, when they grow older, it's the pattern of behavior that they've learned, perhaps from their own father, you know, that they watched their father maybe beat their mother, and they themselves become abusive because that's what they learned how to do. In other words, we don't teach our boys how to deal with their emotional states. Their feelings of frustration come out, you know, in an angry way, in a violent way, and society pays for that. So I just wanted to add the element that we have to understand that society needs to take responsibility for the fact that we're not raising our men, our boys, very well. And that's a big part of why, because it takes two people in a relationship to have a domestic, you know, violently domestic relationship. That's you know, something we shouldn't miss out on. We can fix some of that through the men, you know, through the boys and the men, and of course through the people who were traumatized when they were young and are now going to get into recovery. We need to address that as part of their recovery too. So I just wanted to throw that out, Dr. Lena, because Dr. Clark, because I don't want the men to get lost in the mix. It's not only a female issue; it's a male issue. It's a big male issue, and we need to acknowledge that and talk about that a little bit sometimes too. Okay. So that was
I agree, and that's men don't talk. They don't talk, and so again, that's part of why I wrote my book, An Amazing Mind. You know, for losing my husband to suicide, because men internalize, they're taught to be strong. You can handle it. Don't talk about it. Sweep it under the rug. But they're human too. If you pinch them, they're going to feel it. And so, you know, this is something. This is a stigma that needs to be broken. It really does. And men have a voice. And just because they're male, that doesn't mean they don't have feelings.
That's right. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're not taught how to deal with feelings at all. Women at least share with each other, usually. They'll share with other women. Men don't share with other men. We don't talk about this stuff. And if nobody talks about it to us, then we're completely uneducated about the fact that, you know, having emotions is normal. How you deal with them is the problem, because there, you know, obviously in life, people get frustrated, and everybody gets frustrated with their life at some point. Men who get frustrated turn to inappropriate behaviors to express that frustration, and usually in an angry way, or in a hostile way, or in a violent way, or in a way that where they express how right they are and the world is wrong. The world if you have a spouse, the spouse fills a lot of your world, you know, and occupies a lot of space in your world. Let's put it that way. So guess what? Your spouse gets the brunt of it. So as I say, I think you know, we have to really take a look at how we raise our voice, because it doesn't have to be that way, but it is that way. We just don't prepare boys to be good spouses. You know, I got no information from my parents about how to negotiate things, for example, with each other. I never saw them fight. I heard them fight, but usually it was behind a closed door and muffled voices, and I couldn't really make out what they were saying. But obviously they weren't getting along, and I couldn't believe that they stayed together. To be honest, in my case, my parents stayed together 60 years, and I couldn't believe it that they lasted that whole time. So my father died. They were married for 60 years. And, you know, they probably shouldn't have. It would have been healthier for them to have accepted that they weren't a perfect match for each other and gone their separate ways at some point, I think. But anyway, they didn't get violent with each other, but they sure did cause a lot of pain to each other in terms of, you know, my mother was the one that was trying to express her control all the time, and my father was the one who acquiesced to her desires all the time. And I thought that was really unfair. There wasn't a lot of, you know, negotiating and sharing of concepts and ideas and thoughts and wants, desires. It was pretty much my mother always won and my father always felt defeated. I saw that in him. But the point is, I wasn't taught how to negotiate it, you know, how to just talk about my feelings, or how, you know, what am I thinking. And so inside of me, there was a kind of a rage that was going on, you know, at the same time that I was abused and there was rage about that. There was a kind of a rage going on because I had no tools with which to express that rage. And, you know, so then it comes out in terms of, you know, really bad behavior on the part of men. So it's fixable, but it has to be conscious. Don't you think, Lena?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, isn't that... I'm sorry?
No, that's okay. I was clearing my throat.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm sorry. Did you say something else, Bill?
No, I was just clearing my throat at the end there. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're fine. But you're absolutely right. You know, it's never too late. And I think platforms need to be created for such as this for men as well. For men to know that it's okay to talk about what's on your mind. That doesn't mean that your weak men have man caves. They have cigar rooms and they go and they hang out for games or whatever. But again, let's talk about what's on your mind, because that will alleviate a lot of the pressure and the stress that men endure on a daily basis. You know, a lot of them have outlets such as sports, and that's how they, you know, release their stress, and some go home and they take it out because that's what they saw coming up, as you mentioned, and that's all they know. You know, you can't teach what you don't know. So, again, that's why we have to educate our males, our millennial males that are coming up and following, because we have to represent, and with the women as well, what are we doing for our younger women, our younger generation? And they also have to be repositioned. But it starts with educating for those that want to learn.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with that, absolutely. I mean, I saw so much violence between my mother and my father, my bio, so-called bio father. Ancestry doesn't lie. He wasn't my bio father. That's another story. But I knew him to be my father at that time. And, I mean, he was just so horrible. I mean, he beat her almost to death. It was horrific. Now, on the flip side of the coin, when my mother did get away from him, and she put me elsewhere, and my brother elsewhere, She had met my stepfather. And my stepfather, I have to say they had quite a good marriage, wonderful marriage. But he always gave in to her. And he was always trying to please her. And whatever my mother said went. And, you know, I do know what Bill's talking about in a sense. And so my mother was a bully. She was a bully. And people were afraid of her. I was afraid of her. I think my stepfather was afraid of her, to be honest with you. And so it's not always, you know, the men's fault. And, I mean, I know that over 43 million women, this is from the CDC, and over 30 million men experience psychological aggression by intimate partner abuse. So there's your answer, Bill. We know that 43 million women and 38 million men experience psychological aggression. So you see, and that's by women. So you see, actually, I was shocked when I saw that.
It's almost even, you know, 43 and 38.
Yeah. I know, and I was shocked
about the men. We don't talk about the men in terms of where the pattern comes from and what can be done about it. You know, we talk about them as being kind of evil, you know, but I'm more interested in the solution in all these cases than the problem. You have to talk about the problem in order to get to the solution, but the emphasis should be on the solution for both sexes. You know, my mother
was not
a violent bully. She was a quiet bully because she was 100 pounds soaking wet. But she completely controlled my father and us kids and always got her way. And she didn't get her way. She knew how to suffer. And I learned that from my mom, too. She was a professional martyr and sufferer. And you couldn't stand being around her when she was, you know, suffering. So you acquiesced to whatever she wanted, and she suddenly got better. That's how she expressed it. But the point is that it's to go back to what you were saying, statistically speaking, there's almost as many men involved in this as there are women involved in this. So come on. You know, it's a human phenomenon.
Condition.
You know,
yes.
Condition. A human condition.
Yes.
If we don't deal with it, it doesn't get better by itself. But it can get better if we consciously work on it as a society. So that's what I'm saying, Lena.
Yeah, absolutely. So my thing is, what do you do? I mean, we have conversations. We talk about it. There are four of us on the line right now. We're talking about what happened to our past. Each one of us have shared what has happened. People are listening. Are people calling in asking questions? Are people asking, okay, how can I get help? Okay, and that's the thing. We can talk until we can't talk anymore, but what is the solution? Do you have any information so they can go to the next level? Because all we're doing is rehashing and talking about the same thing over and over again. But at the end of the day, we have to come up with a plan.
Okay.
Amy, what were you going to say? Yeah.
I was just going to get in there that, you know, that a lot of times you guys have talked about women who got their way and bullies, you know, mental bullies. There's also a lot of men out there that are being abused by women, good men that won't hit a woman back. And, you know, just like I said, when my teenage boyfriend hit me, I hit him back, and then he floored me. But I worked with this guy one time, his wife, and he finally became very vocal about it. And his wife was beating him up. You know, he didn't want to hit her back, and he was, you know, he loved her. They were married. They had kids. And he would come in beaten and battered and bruised from her just going off on him. You know, and it takes a strong man not to hit him back. But, you know, what happens in those cases? You know, when the woman you know, she slaps a man or hits a man, and you know, he doesn't hit her back, and then she loses it again. She hits him again, you know. And this gentleman, he suffered, domestic abuse, a man.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, it happens. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, as an example of what happened with me, and I just explained how I was brought up, but I didn't explain how my first strong relationship, which was with my first wife, mm-hmm. happened. You know, we were together over 10 years before we decided to get married, and then we had a kid right away. And when we had the kid, I didn't stay with her for more than about 3 or 4 years because I had to make the choice to grow up with our kid experiencing this horrible relationship between the two of us until she was like a teenager or something, or I had to get out then and have her not be experiencing it, but having her experiencing the separation of the two of us. So that's what I chose to do. So I left early, but here's the point. To go back before that, I want to admit that, you know, as you said, men don't know how to deal with these things. I was taught by parents who did not show me, teach me, talk about, express, you know, how to get along with each other. You just accepted that my mom was more powerful than my father, and we all resented it, all of us. Mm-hmm. And when I grew up and I had my relationship with my first wife, I never hit her, but I shoved her. You know, I tried to get her away from me because I couldn't stand it. I didn't know how to deal with it. She never got any bruises or bumps from me, but she got bad behavior from me, absolutely. And it got worse when we got married, because then she felt she had a right to my finances, for example, that she didn't have before we got married. But as soon as we got married, she began spending money we didn't have, and I couldn't convince her to stop. And, you know, she got, like, every credit card in the world, every store card in the world for Sears and Bullocks and, you know, all the store cards. She ran them all up to their max, and then when she ran out, she went out and got another one, and I couldn't stop her. And eventually I had to leave her in order to just even financially, you know, survive. And I've suffered many years because of that. I had to pay it all off because it was in my name. You know, all that stuff was in my name. But anyway, I do want to admit that I had bad behavior, even though it wasn't violent. It was violent in the sense that I shoved her to get her away from me. One time I remember she was talking to me and I was driving in our van, my van, and I couldn't get her to shut up about something. I don't remember what it was, but I couldn't get her to shut up. I pulled the van over to the road and I offered to let her out. And she got out and I drove away.
Good.
And I just left her there. That's how I had to deal with it like that, or else I would have exploded on her, you know? The point is, I had no idea what the dynamics of this was. I mean, I'm talking now as if I understood it. I didn't back then because I was never taught it. I never went to therapy. My parents never went to therapy. We never had it. Except for church, we never had an organization or a method that we use to deal with our mental health. And I don't think church was about mental health. It was about spiritual health, perhaps, or it was trying to be. But that also because of my experience with men that were abusing me, who were priests, that disappeared for me, too, because I couldn't trust the church either. So, you know, these are some issues that I don't hear enough men talking about them, admitting them and asking for help and seeking solutions. And I just thought I didn't want this show to go on. I knew Lena would be here tonight, you know, without us infusing the fact that, you know, that there's a perspective from men that we don't often cover. Mm-hmm. So that's what I wanted to say.
Well, you know, there's another aspect of it, too, is with the children. And, you know, I've talked several times on this show, and I'll do it again. You know, me being a survivor of domestic abuse, and my husband never touched either one of my children, never. And I remember one of my kids telling me one time, you know, that they were abused. I said, no one ever touched you, you know, neither one of us. And to this day, I can't remember which kid it was. Said, do you honestly think watching Daddy beat the shit out of you, throwing you out of the house, you know, making you sleep outside with the dogs was an abuse? And it was.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And I read another article that children who don't endure abuse but witness domestic abuse are more prone to be cynical.
More prone to be what? I didn't hear you, honey.
More prone to be cynical.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I've seen that in both of my kids, both of them. So you know, if there's a lot of damaging effects. We don't think of child abuse. You know, we think of child abuse as physical, emotional, sexual neglect, but witnessing domestic abuse is abusive. You know, if I had it
Absolutely.
To do over, and I didn't, I mean, this is something that I've had to realize, you know, on my own. You know, me growing up without my father, you know, I'm thinking I'm staying in the marriage for the kids. Mm-hmm. And my kids would have been much, much, much better off had I left sooner.
Well, that's how I felt, Tammy. I had to look at it and say, would I be better off to stay here for the sake of my daughter, or would I be better off leaving for the sake of my daughter? And I chose the latter. Now, that doesn't mean that I didn't have a lot of time with her, because we completely shared. Ashley was never our problem. We both adored her, and we shared her very easily. But we couldn't live with each other, you know. So Ashley had, mm-hmm. you know, two homes. She spent half the time at each home. Because her mom mm-hmm. was a teacher, she tended to spend the week with her mom and the weekend with me, and then all the summers with me, all the vacations and stuff with me. So she had a lot of dad time as well. And, you know, I love
right.
her. I still love her.
Right.
But I'm not sure. Right. I'm not sure how you resolve that. I mean, frankly, having left her mom when she was young didn't mean that I fixed my marital problems, because when I had girlfriends after that, you know, I tended to choose girls who were kind of powerful. Like they expressed themselves powerfully, just like my mom and just like June. You know, I still made the same
right.
choices. And then I finally
right.
figured it out. I couldn't do that. I had to pick partners that were going to be more equal to me and not try and express themselves as more powerful than me. And that started to work.
Right.
And, of course, I'm with a gal now who's, you know, my second wife. And everybody knows who that is. That's Christina, who's been wonderful and still is. And, you know, it's made all the difference in the world to have the right kind of partner is the point.
Right.
So,
gotcha.
Yeah, but I don't want to say that because I left my first wife, I instantly got better. I didn't. It took a while to figure
mm-hmm.
that stuff out.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you for sharing that, Bill. Well, Dr. Lena brought up a question. What do we do about it? You know, we're talking about it on this show, but what are we doing about it? You know, I think education is the first thing, is understanding. And that's one of the things, you know, talking about it does help, because that is part of the education process. And I remember reading an article about the effects of domestic abuse, and I realized as I'm reading this article, they're describing me. You know, it almost hit me like a ton of bricks. So understanding the cycles, understanding the patterns, understanding that people don't get better, rarely, you know, unless they make some dramatic, you know, interchanges, it's going to continue. So recognizing the cycle. And then, you know, there's the question that we started at the beginning of the show. Why do women stay with men like this and vice versa? You know, there was a lot of reasons. I didn't have anywhere to go. I can't tell you how many times I packed up and went home to my mother's house, and I wasn't wanted there. You know,
right.
I'd sleep on their couch for 2 or 3 days, and then, you know, they were tired of me, and, you know, then I was relieved to go home, you know, because he was all sorry. But then, you know, I didn't have any money. You know, somebody that is that controlling, you know, I would go to the store to pick up a pizza. We lived out in the country, and I would go to the store and pick up a pizza, and he would time me. And, you know, if he knew, he knew how long it took to take to town. So, you know, if I came back 30 minutes, you know, if I was supposed to be going an hour and I came home an hour and a half, I got beat, you know, because he would accuse me of having an affair with him. So I was terrified of him. I didn't have any money. You know, he had control of all the money. You know, even when I finally left him, you know, his family was able, you know, they had the best lawyer, and I had to beg and borrow for money for my attorney. You know, another thing is, you know, when women do finally leave them, that's usually when they end up dead. You know, that's, you know, usually a lot of women, they finally get the courage to leave, and they end up dead. You know, we can teach women to come up with a plan, men too, but mainly women. You know, we know that women are, you know, victims of domestic abuse for the reasons we've talked about. But, you know, how do you come up with a plan? How do you, you know, get your valuables out of there? You know, have a safety box, have a friend where you can store, you know, a change of clothes, you know, an extra, you know, some cold hard cash. You know, what do you do?
Well, Tammy, that's one thing I always tell women, and is like I had to do this myself. Okay, this is how I know. Outside on the house, I've mentioned this maybe once or twice in the last 12 years on this show, 11, 12 years. There was a loose shingle on this house that I was living in. Okay, with my husband, and what I did was I took a big baggie that I had, you know, and I put it in. I had gotten a driver's license. I got another, you know, a copy of it, had it made. And I had keys to the car. We only had one vehicle. So I had keys to the car made. And, you know, all important papers that I felt were, you know, that I'd need for the kids and for myself. And whatever, and money. I had, like, in those days, you could get, like, a room for $100. It would be okay. All right? I got that one covered for, you know, like a day or whatever. And so I'd try to add to that. And one time I used it. Because I was being beaten. And again, there was too much alcohol. And then it turned into alcohol and drugs, okay? And to me, that's the same thing. Anything that alters the mind, all right, is a drug. I had a little confrontation with my professor, and look, I'm sorry, if it alters your mind and makes you act differently, it's a drug with alcohol. But anyway, the point is, that was in Princeton. But anyway, the point is this. I had a package, a care package, that's what I called it, and I put it up under that that loose shingle. But I knew it wasn't so loose it was all of a sudden just going to drop, okay, because I would have gotten killed if he found it, all right? So one night it was very bad, and I went outside, made like I was getting air, and I took that packet, and my son was the only one that was gone at that point, and my daughter was there, and away we went, okay? Away we went. I had money in hand, and, you know, so he, my ex-husband, all right, what he did, and also I had a time with Marty. They were both bad, all right? It turned out that way. But anyway, the point is we took off, Michelle and I. We had to do this. And we stayed somewhere. I had $100. And but I went back. Why? I didn't have a car, did I? There was only one car. He took off of the vehicle. He thought he was going to leave me, okay, and leave me home to sulk and to cry and all this other stuff. And he'd slap me around and all this other stuff. But no. This time I had a plan. So what I'm saying is to women, you know, or to anyone, have your paperwork aside. Have your extra set of car keys. Have some money put aside. Because if you're in a, and have an extra driver's license made, and it's always good to do that. If you are in a situation where, you know, you might get killed, because these people, they can go so nuts that they can kill you. In fact, it says here, it is important to acknowledge the intimate partner abuse can extend beyond physical injury and result in death. That's right. And data does show from the U.S. crime report suggests that 16%, and that's approximately 1 in 6, are homicides. One in six are homicides. So there's your answers. So what do we do about it? All right. One thing that we were talking about, like with the men, like what Bill was talking about, you see, a lot of times the men are behind the women, Tammy, because they always had to be macho. They had to be tough. They had to be stronger. They had to be the breadwinners. They had to be this. They had to be that, whatever the case might be. They couldn't show their feelings. Bill didn't show his feelings, okay? So that's a big no-no right there, because now it's coming out. More men are stepping forward, but they still don't talk about what Bill was referring to, because that's like a sign of weakness, to have a woman pushing a guy around. My stepfather didn't talk about it. He just yesed her to death. All right? So I think that maybe in time, since men are coming forward with other issues, like with the sexual abuse and all this other stuff that we speak about, maybe in time those who have been bullied, maybe they'll get to the point of the comfort level where they too will feel like it's okay, you know, to talk about, you know, all issues. And if they came from a background where the mother was a bully, all right, like Bill had, like I had, and I'm sure there's a lot of other hundreds of thousands of people have, you know, where the mother is a bully. It will be okay for them to talk about it. Yeah.
Sure.
You know what? I want to make sure we remember. I was going to say Dr. Lena has to leave shortly, so make sure that she gets enough time to finish her thoughts, Tammy.
Okay.
Yeah, please do.
I was going to throw it back over to Dr. Lena and see what she thought about all of this. And what are your recommendations,
good,
Dr. Lena?
Good.
Well, you know, again, my recommendations, you know, would be, again, to come up with a plan of action, you know, planning. What are we going to do? Again, we talk about it, but are we going to actually walk about it? Mm-hmm. And we have experience. We've all gone through something. And our test is to be our testimony and to help others so that they can come out of what they're going through. All of you share phenomenal stories. You know, when men are abused just like women. But we know, because of the way the system works, that if you call the police and they come to the home, they're going to arrest the male. Because that's how the system is set up, even though the woman might be the one that is the reason, is the cause of it. And women should be found guilty just like men. But, again, there are women that have the Jezebel spirit, the controlling spirit, that were raised that way because their mother was that way, and that's all they saw.
That's
so
right.
Women have to be taught just like the men. So, you know, again, that's what we're talking about, preparation. Setting up, just coming up with systems to help educate those that want to be educated, because our younger generation, they're the future. And you know, we don't want that to continue to go on. Once we become knowledgeable, we have a responsibility to do something about it. And so, again, that's my position is planning. You know, I'm a doer, and I don't just talk about it, you know. I believe in doing something about it.
I think that what you're saying, though, is, and that's right, I think so. I used to work in a facility. I was a technician, say certified in mental health, you know, Greystone Psychiatric, actually. And there was this one guy who was admitted, and he used to talk to things all around the house, you know. It was really weird. I saw him out on his porch. And I've seen two different men out on the porch. One guy spoke to his broom. He was so scared of his wife, he spoke to his broom. It was really weird. He'd sleep in the car at night, and they had five kids. And she was brutal. And then there was another guy, like I said, he had been admitted to Greystone Psychiatric. And he, too, would speak to objects and so forth. It's like they didn't have a voice. Doctor, you know what I'm saying? They didn't have a voice.
Mm-hmm.
So that they would speak to objects or to the air or to whatever, all right? And because their voices weren't allowed to be voiced, so they weren't heard. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I learned so much from them. Yes, the psychiatrist, and I've seen this, and of course you see it all the time. So, you know.
Right, and absolutely, and that's why a lot of men leave and walk away because, you know, they know that's the safest thing to do. I better do this because if I do something else, you know, they know the consequences. And that's why some men don't go home. That's why some men have other outlets, you know, because they'd rather go outside than have to go to a hellhole at home. And, you know, yeah, it goes both ways, but it needs to be identified. And it needs to be, you know, talked about, taught about, and having sessions. I mean, having people to call in that are willing to talk about it, not just listen, but what's on your mind. You know, having professionals to come in and be a part of these kind of platforms.
Mm-hmm.
Because the domestic violence has increased due to the, you know, the pandemic. And, and terribly in the suicide rate because people have been, you know, they're stuck. They're at home and they're learning one another more about each other. And, you know, that's not how it's supposed to be. Just because we came up that way, we have to break it at some point.
Well, the frustration level is so high. You know, everyone's frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm the night owl for NASCA. I know people are frustrated. They call me. And, you know, we can't fix what's out there, okay? If we can't change the pandemic or COVID, whatever you want to give it, name it, whatever you want to, I know I call it names all the time. I won't say it on air. But I've lost friends because of it. You know, they died. And it's just, it's so frustrating to then have our lives changed on top of it all. You know, mask time, do you wear a mask, don't wear a mask. Make sure you wear a mask when you go in to have a bite to eat somewhere, but it's okay to take the mask off to eat. What? I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me, okay? I don't like things that don't make sense. And then, you get up to leave. Yeah. And then when you get to leave, put your mask back on and walk out the door. I mean, I don't know. It doesn't make sense. You know.
Yeah,
so,
they've done away with them here in Florida, thank goodness.
It's just too many things that don't make sense to me, okay? So these people call, and I can't give them answers that I don't have. Okay, none of us seem to have answers. And you know, we all have common sense, hopefully. And we can say to ourselves, well, this doesn't make sense. But we can't change that. But with the men, I think maybe, Bill, you hit upon something. And it's too bad that we can't get, men to come on the show who have been bullied, you know, by their wives and they watched it as a child because then it turns into, like, say, a generational type thing. Have them talk about it because there's probably a lot of guys out there like you feeling the same way. That's my point.
Well, I'm willing to talk about it any time, you know, and what I would say basically is if you really want to deal with this problem, you need to deal with it before you're an adult, which means, you know, children can't fix themselves. It means we have to pay attention to how our children are being raised, and maybe it gets taught in school. I don't know, but we need to talk to kids about their feelings. We need to talk to kids. We don't address this at all, you know, at all with children.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Exactly. We don't, you know, the suicide rate. I have had so many parents calling, asking for sessions for their teenagers because. You know, the suicide rate is increasing, and I speak with them. I'm doing a seminar, you know, that's open to the public, understanding depression, anxiety, and all of that. And they just walk up because they feel like no one cares, and that's what they're saying. So they have created their own world. And, again, we have a responsibility as adults. Just because things didn't work out or we went through things in the past, we can't ride on that anymore. That's in the past. We have to fix it because we're going to lose our children. And they're the future. We can learn from them and they can learn from us. But they need our attention. And I think, I think creating, again, platforms, you know, there's work that has to be done. sessions, yes. like Bill, like you said, getting the men to come together, putting out flyers, you know, getting their opinion. You know, it's a process.
Well, as far as children are concerned, I mean, they respond very well to being creative in the process of being taught. And so I think we could come up with some kind of models for how to teach children about sharing feelings, for example, expressing feelings in a healthy way, putting on demonstrations where, you know, we have people play roles and stuff like that. Well, children
role
love
play.
Stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Role play.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, try to get them to realize that there are choices. Because that's one thing we don't know. We don't think about it. If you stop for a beat or two before you take an action and you realize that you have a choice in that moment about which way you're going to go, I mean, half the problem would be fixed. But we don't do it that way. We don't teach people that. And you have to teach them, I think, as children, you know, in order to really start to fix this problem. And, of course, then you do have to have therapy and counseling and other things, anger management for them as they get older and now that we're adults. But I'm saying that if you want to fix the whole thing, you got to do it with the kids because then it would might take several generations. But we're not likely to do it unless we're talking about it. That children need to be taught about how to express feelings.
Exactly.
Well, you know, I'm a big
that we care.
Exactly. Well, you know, I wanted to mention that I'm a big fan of Dr. Daniel Goleman. Daniel Goleman writes a lot on. He actually coined the phrase emotional intelligence. And a lot of people, you know, talk about it now, but he's the father of it, emotional intelligence. It's his I just adore him. I've got several of his books right here in my office. But he started out working with children before he did emotional intelligence in the workplace. He did emotional intelligence for children. That's where he got his start and actually started cornering the phrase, you know, with self-awareness, how to build emotional intelligence in kids, self-awareness, self-regulation, motivation, empathy. And that's great. And we can get all of the books out in the world. And the problem that I see is in a normal environment where people yearn for stuff and look for stuff and obtain stuff and teach their children, that's fine and dandy. But children who are coming from broken homes and often highly dysfunctional environments, they're not going to, you can put all the programs and all the brochures and everything out in the world, and this is not gonna, they're not gonna use it. How do you make them use it? I mean, you know, everybody and their brother should have enough intelligence to know that you don't have sex with relatives. But it happens.
Yeah, really.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that you don't molest
that,
children. But it happens.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't know. What do you think?
And I don't know if you know, but October is Emotional Intelligence Awareness Month.
Oh, really?
And I, yes. And I think that would be the opportunity, time to possibly do something within that month.
Sure.
I mean, yeah, I know it's right around the corner, but again, you know, that it is Emotional Intelligence Awareness Month.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
You know, the September was Suicide Awareness Month, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
maybe
well,
you
I
can come back. Yeah. Tammy, maybe, you know, and you guys do the scheduling, so maybe we could, you know, have the doctor on, you know, sometime, you know, during that time and have her speak.
Okay.
Well, we'll see. We'll see about the scheduling. I talked to Lena this afternoon about the fact that, you know, we really appreciated. She took over for Bobby Joy for a while, and now Bobby Joy is back. So, but I'm going to be looking for a permanent slot for for Lena. And in the meantime, you know, she can, we can have her on as anytime we want. We know her. Mm-hmm. She is popular with our mm-hmm. followers, and I've been told that. So, you know, yeah, absolutely, Carol. We can
yeah.
schedule things when we have a slot.
Absolutely.
You know, I have time in October, just as a thought, Lena, for some open shows that aren't booked yet that are, they're on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and they're usually places where people tell their story, but they don't have to mm-hmm. be. We could make a plan that something in October is set aside for you to come on and do a show with you as the leader of the show, talking mm-hmm. about perhaps a little bit about your own story, but mostly about these issues that we're talking about tonight, because I think there is really, really very little more important than, you know, when we talk about, you know, what NASCA does, we do say prevention and intervention as part of what we do. Well, that's because we want to teach children, and you know, we gotta come up with some ideas, and you know, some commitment to teaching our children differently than we've been teaching them for generations now. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
let's look for a date
absolutely.
For you. You know, if you
well,
look
yeah,
at our
I
calendar,
mean,
do you know how to look for
I'm sorry?
An open date? Yeah, our current schedule lists the shows that are open in gray. It just says not yet booked. Pick one in October that you want, and we'll set you up. Because we're booking October now, obviously.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're happy
okay.
to do that.
I'll do that. I'll get with, you know, one of y'all and do that, because I don't want it just to be where I'm talking about, you know, my story. I want individuals to come on to be able to open up, you know.
Well, if we plan it ahead of time, perhaps we can get a panel of professionals or something, you know.
Exactly.
Or,
exactly, right.
You know, but you lead it is what I'm saying. You lead
mm-hmm.
the show.
Okay.
So,
all right,
so
I'll
just look
listen.
At our current schedule and
okay,
pick a
do
date
that.
And let me know. Yeah.
All right. Will do. Thank you so much.
We're delighted
to have
you.
I think it's needed. I think it's something that's needed, okay.
Absolutely.
Just from the conversation we've had tonight, you know, again, you know, we've always known this, you know, men don't get the same attention as women do. Now, they're starting to come forward, Doctor, you know that, with the sexual abuse and the physical and mentally emotional, but they don't talk about being bullied, you know, being
yeah.
scared of their wives and things like that. So there's got to be an awful lot of men out there that are going through it and who just don't choose to speak about it because they don't want to look weak, because that's what they were taught. You know, it'd be like a sign
exactly.
of weakness.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes.
Yes, but it's actually just the opposite. It's a sign of strength when you do talk because
uh-huh.
of the stigma that's been put out there, you know, because when you hold things in, that's when you become weak because you explode. So when you vent and you constantly release, you know, that's making you stronger.
That's right.
Okay. Yes.
Well, we've
but
had
yes,
conversation.
Go ahead. Yes. It's been wonderful. And as Bill stated, I do have to run. And thank you all so much for having me on tonight.
Well, thank you for coming on. Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you for being here.
Yes.
And joining us.
You're welcome.
Have a good evening, Dr. Lena Clark.
Thank you. You all too. Blessings.
Okay. All right.
I'm sorry. What did you say, Bill?
I'm saying out of this came the preparation I'm looking forward to doing with you for whatever show mm-hmm. you'd like to do in October. And you'll tell me the theme of the show, and then we'll try and find some other professional type people that we can bring in, and they'll be the panel. You know?
Yeah.
But you'll be the host.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
I'll do that. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night now.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, that was interesting.
Yeah, that was interesting. You know, and I did Google emotional, and that's what I Googled was, Daniel Goleman's Emotional Intelligence for Children.
Yeah,
he's
I've
got
heard
some
of that
videos
before.
Out there. He's got, you know, he's got some books. He's got some information. And, you know, I'd watched a video of his, and he talked a little bit about it. And that's what he's saying, that if you teach children, you know, emotional intelligence at, you know, elements, which is self-awareness, self-regulation, and that's a big one, self-regulation, motivation, and empathy. You know, because children, you know, like we said, you know, they, especially if they're in an abusive environment, you know, they grow up where people lose their cool, they blow their top. You know, how do you maintain your cool? You know, most adults, a lot of adults don't maintain their cool. How do they expect their children to? And like Bill said, you know, it's taught. You know, motivation, self-regulation is the ability to remain calm, remain in control of your actions regardless of what you're going through.
Yeah. Well, I had read an article on that just a few weeks ago. And P.K. Hill, she was all excited because she thought maybe I could work that into, one of the shows I was running about emotional regulation and all that other stuff. And but it didn't happen because we had a very lively crew that night and something else. But that's something that people need to learn about and to understand what it is and how it can be used. So if we have this panel that Bill's speaking about, and I do know what you're speaking about because I read it, and, you know, I think that would make for a good show. And maybe, too, Bill, that would give men more confidence, which is what they're lacking in that area. Okay, we've gotten more guys to come on and talk about sexual abuse and some of the other abuses, but not as far as being bullied to the point. As that poor guy across the street that I used to live from, I mean, that was horrific, the one with the five children I was telling you about. And you know, that was awful. And there's got to be a lot of guys out there like that.
Sure, absolutely. Here's a quote from Daniel Goleman. Emotional intelligence. Emotional intelligence begins to develop in the earliest years. All of the small exchanges children have with their parents, teachers, and with each other carry emotional messages.
Right.
And so he's saying, you know, what Bill said, you know, is just right on. And it's right on with what Daniel Goleman has, you know, tried to teach us as well. I just think he's amazing. I mean, he's a little bit older now, but as a matter of fact, I got two books here in my office because I had a couple of employees. I felt like they needed to get a hold of themselves, you know. Don't let people see sweat, you know. Don't blow your top, you know, in the workplace. And so I got the two books, but then I remembered that he works a lot with children as well, and that's where he actually started.
Right, exactly. Now, it's very interesting, And it doesn't matter that he's a little bit older now. That means he's a little bit wiser. Go ahead, Bill.
There you go. Go ahead, Bill. Yeah, we got about 2 minutes left, minute and a half.
Can you guys need a little information about the topic? Because I'd like to work it into the description of the show. So if you have a link you can send me or something that would take me to see that, like the four things you just mentioned, you know, something like that. That would be great.
Yeah. And that's what it's about with men. Yeah, that'd be good.
Absolutely.
All right, good.
We'll plan on, so I can't tell you when, but it'll be in October, you know.
Not October 1st, though.
It'll be in October.
Okay, not October 1st. I have Deidre's house coming on, and I love them. So, but anyway.
I just got the 60-second mark. I'm sorry. I think we're all talking over each other, and I'm sorry. I'm bad about that too. I did just get the 60-second mark, so we need to go ahead and wrap it up. So tomorrow night, Carol, you're hosting tomorrow night, which is let's see, who's your guest? Jillian Colburn from Texas.
Yes, I looked her up. That should be pretty interesting. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, good deal. Well, I appreciate both of you coming on very, very, very much. I really do. I'd have been here by myself for a while. So thank you so much. Thank you for the people who have streamed in and listening to us. I hope you got something out of the show. And I'm going to say, God bless the children of the world, and God bless adult survivors of child abuse. Have a good night, everybody. Good night.
You too, honey. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Good night.
That's gonna come. You are forgotten after all that you've done.
Blog Talk Radio.